All right, so I was thinking about this while we were taking a little break. Am I a terrible person for saying that somebody getting coming down with post-concussion syndrome is a good thing?
I think I have to hear your reasoning before I actually give a yes or a no.
Okay. By the way, I don't mean that I liked that Stahl was out or that I relished in his pain.
But you had a concussion. No, it's not like that.
Yeah, no, I'm not Martin Brodeur.
Oh, yeah, we won't get into that.
No, it's just Stahl and Girardi for the longest time were the defense pairing, and it looked like those two were going to be some of the best defensemen in the league together. I mean, they were going to become the best shutdown defense line in the league, Stahl and Girardi. Stahl gets hurt, he's out, and now the Rangers have to scramble a bit. They acquire McDonough, and they put him on the line with Girardi. McDonough is a young kid. We're going to pair him, but he's got a lot of talent. He's a young kid, so now we're going to pair him with one of the best defensemen in the Eastern Conference, Dan Girardi. Veteran, crafty, knows what he's doing. And so now, those two playing together, that, and Tortorella said the same thing earlier in the week, that brings up, that speeds up McDonough's development tenfold, exponentially. And now you've got McDonough and Girardi, who I think we could both say right now are two of the top defensemen in the Eastern Conference. McDonough has become that with his speed, his skill, his ability with his stick to get to make plays on better offensemen or forwards. So that brings up McDonough's skill. Now you've got two great defensemen. Stahl comes back from injury. You let him develop. You put him with either Strawman or Delzato. I like him with Delzato. You put him with Delzato. So now you've got two crafty veterans in Girardi and Stahl, and instead of paired together like they would have been, they're broken up and helping the development of two young guys. Two young guys, by the way, who you've seen really come into their own lately in Delzato and McDonough.
And Stahl has really come around lately as well.
And Stahl has finally come all the way back. His conditioning is there now. You can see him playing so much better. So now you've got two lines with four defensemen who are really good. Stahl, Delzato, or Strawman. Either way, I like Delzato better. Strawman's coming.
Yeah, I lead towards Delzato, but I don't think Strawman's that far away.
Right, and now you've got Girardi and McDonough together. So now you've got two lines of really quality. That's why I say that the injury to Stahl may have been a good thing for the Rangers in the long run. And I mean, it's not something you want to hear, but really,
as far as player development's concerned, you're nuts on right there.
Absolutely. Nuts on.
Nuts on. You like that phrase, huh?
Well...
Well, not...
I guess. Hey-o!
Oh, jeez. I don't even want to
touch that.
All right,
let's just move on. So, Rangers coming with Game 3 on Saturday. By the way, what is the NHL doing with a 1 o'clock game on Saturday?
Thank you. That's what I've been saying ever since the schedule came out.
Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to play it at 1... Hey, we got the NFC Championship this weekend. Let's play it at 9 a.m. That seems good, right?
That's basically what you're saying. It's like, dude... What could you possibly have scheduled in primetime on a Saturday night that's going to really take away from your ratings?
Honestly, it's they want a lead. They want a strong lead into the Preakness. That's what it is. That's what it is. NBC
okay.
wants a strong lead into the Preakness,
which is what they did with the Ranger game 2 weeks ago with the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah,
with game 6 of the
Cats.
And
it's stupid. But not because,
game 6,
because
game
by the way, three. The Ranger game is going to end, and then you're going to get 2 hours of preview of the Kentucky. I don't care what your lead in is. Nobody who isn't already going to watch the Preakness is going to turn it. Is going to like see it, click onto the Preakness, and go, "Hey,
let's do it. This
let's maybe just watch this for 2 hours before they get to the 2 minute
race. Let's watch 2 hours to talk about horses before they run for 2 minutes."
Oh God, who you like in the Preakness, by the way?
You know, here's the theory I'm running with as far as the betting is concerned.
The betting, okay. Well, that's what horse racing
all
is.
Right. The theory I'm going to run with, yep. Just because I look at this list, out of the 11 horses running,
mm-hmm.
I'm impressed by the top four in the odds, and the rest to me don't exist, honestly.
I agree. That was my impression.
I mean, Dye knows best, but... Other than that, the other seven don't impress.
Yeah,
the other six don't impress
this,
me.
This is the way I have my demented raveling, scribblings of a madman over here that I did last night. I'm looking at this, and frankly, I think it's a two horse race between Bodie Meister and I'll have another. I think that, and then those are my likely winners. I wrote down here. It's possible. Went the day well in Creative Cause, who's the 5 and 6. I also like Zetterholm. Who I've never. Okay. I mean, he's at 20-1 now. He'll fall farther than that, I would expect.
Probably around 12-1, I would assume.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, well, the thing is,
in that neighborhood,
he's never. He's. he's never won a big race, but he's always been around. And so in this type of race, you just kind of take a flyer on him, maybe. I like him. I don't love him. And the live, oh, and Daddy Knows Best, meh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking.
It was like, you know what it was? He was interesting. No, he was right out in the Derby. I looked at it and went, no. But that's because the Derby was so littered with talent.
Right.
In a less cluttered field, he's interesting, but meh. And then you've got the two and the three, who I think are interesting, Teeth of the Dog and Pretension, as live long shots and nothing else.
Right. Here's the thing I'm looking at with this field.
And the 11, by the way, once he falls below 50-1, Cosetti, once he falls to 50-1, then you can bet him. But other than that, don't.
Don't, yeah. The thing that worries me the most is that the four top horses in this race are all going to be bunched at the gate. They're all starting together. 5 through 9, basically.
Yeah, well, the thing you look at, though, is Went the Day Well, Creative Cause, and Daddy Knows Best are not going to go.
No, they'll come up from behind.
Bodemeister and I'll Have Another are going to go. And this is why I love Bodemeister. First of all, it's a shorter race, so it's a race he might have won same race in the Derby. He might win this because it's a 16th of a mile shorter. So it's a shorter race already. But also, I love that he's not going to have the same sort of speed. He wanted to get out in the lead in the Derby and he wanted to keep the lead, which is why you saw him throw up just suicidal fractions in that race. Yeah. But he's not going to face... I mean, there are 6 or 7 dynamic speed horses in the Derby. There's 2, maybe, here?
Yeah,
there's,
maybe.
It's him and I'll Have Another who are typically speed horses. So I think Bodemeister is going to have no trouble getting to the lead, and he's not going to have to run the same fractions. Now, the one thing that worries you is the turnaround off of running such a race in the Derby to then have to turn around in 2 weeks and run again. But his connection said he looks better coming out of the Derby than he did going in.
Yeah, that's what I've been following as well.
Right, and if that's true, I don't think I'll Have Another has a shot. I honestly don't. I think Bodemeister runs away with this if he's not pressed. If for some reason he goes out, if Mike Smith, is it Mike Smith who's the jockey?
I believe so.
I think so. If Mike Smith doesn't learn anything and just sends him out and boom, lets him go, he's in trouble. But if he's not pressed, which he won't be, and he can hold back, Bodemeister might just run away with this. Now, I'm rooting for I'll Have Another. I want to see a triple crown. I want to see a triple crown winner.
It's only been 34 years.
I want to see a triple crown winner. Can we just get one? For God's sakes. So I'll be rooting for I'll Have Another. But, I mean, I'll also be rooting for whatever I bet, which is probably going to include Bodemeister.
Right. I mean, and here's what I'm going to do. Because I'm going to be so indecisive between now and Saturday afternoon. I might just take the four horses that I was dumb looking at, Went the Day Well, Creative Cause, Bodemeister, and I'll Have Another,
yep,
and exacta box every one of them.
You might.
I think is what, like, if you go $2 exacta box, horses, what, 16?
Four horses is 24.
24, exactly. Yeah. So
that's not a bad thought. Problem is, if it's 7-9, you're going to get, like, $3 pay
right
for that.
So it's, you know.
But, honestly, a horse that interests me, I mean, there are live long shots in the 2 and the 3, and the 4 interests me. Went the Day Well, you have to consider, I think, just because John Velasquez is on it. But he finished 4th, but he was 9th and ways back at the top of the stretch in the Derby and was able to run on the 4th because of the pace. The pace that just fell apart in the final 16th that he was able to run onto. He's not going to get that pace to run onto. That's why if I'm looking at a closer, and I don't like any of the closers in this race just because I don't think there's going to be that pace to run onto, but if I'm looking at a closer, I'm looking at Creative Cause. He'll probably be a little more forwardly positioned. He's a little more experienced running like that 4th, 5th and trying to come forward than Went the Day Well, who will be at the back. But it's John Velasquez.
Right.
Never turn away from him. And I don't know. Bodemeister probably finished dead last now.
Just because you jinxed it by talking up so much crap about him.
Just because it's horse racing, dude. That's true. And a horse shows up on Saturday and goes, you know what, guys? Nah.
You know what? I want to go eat some grain. Yeah. I'll take it easy these 2 minutes.
I'm good, guys. Have a good one. I'm gonna go hang out, just be groovy in the back.
You know, the whole sweat factor that I had going on throughout the race at Churchill yeah. Downs. I don't want to sweat that much this time.
Thanks.
I'm not getting hosed down.
I'm good. By the way, with Brian Cady in here, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Yankees, who got shelled last night in Toronto.
Yeah.
No Mo, no Robertson. No offense.
Well, Here's the two things I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
And these are two stats that really have jumped off the page of me that I've seen the last 12 hours.
Yep.
Number one, the Yankees have placed, at one point or another, 11 different players on the disabled list already this season. And we're only, what, 35, 36 games in the season, I think.
That's a lot.
Do you know how many there were put on the DL in all of last season for the Yankees?
Two.
19.
I was so off.
The Yankees are roughly less than a quarter into the season, like 20% of the season.
Yeah.
They've already had more than half the amount of players in the DL than they had in an entire season last year. It's crippling because you've had a pace changer from your lineup and Gardner get hurt.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Moe get hurt, obviously.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Now you got Robertson, the 15-day DL.
Well, that's not a disaster.
Jabba got hurt in spring training.
Oh.
Pineda got hurt during spring training. What?
Jabba's.
The ankle.
Oh,
okay.
By the way, I was
wondering what you were kind of ewing about.
I was watching today this morning, and they had Olympic trampoline guys in the middle of the
street.
You
got to think about Jabba, didn't you?
I did a little bit. By the way, are we just letting anything become an Olympic sport nowadays?
Golf is supposed to be becoming an Olympic sport.
Olympic trampoline? Are we serious? Hey, I play bocce in my backyard. Can we get that
as
an Olympic sport?
Was it the floor exercise, or
was it
trampoline?
No.
Legit
it's trampoline, dude.
That's pretty bad.
It's like a big, you ever seen it? It's like a big square trampoline. And these guys get like 30 feet in the air. And by the way, the recourse, if they go off track, their coach is standing with a crash pad that they just slide in and try and hit it as you land.
Oh, thanks.
Swear to God.
I appreciate
that.
That's
it.
I'm going to break my freaking neck, and you're just going to slide a pad underneath and try to make it.
What parent is like, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Right, Olympic trampoline. That seems, there's no way that can go wrong.
That's just terrible. But and then, of course, you might have Ivan Nova go on the deal, depending on how he does his bullpen today.
And that hurts because, I mean, the rotation is just...
It's been getting butchered right now. And it didn't help that Freddie Garcia had a bad start the year.
I think the Yanks will be the Yanks. I'm not... The Yankees are different than all the... I mean, I'm a little pessimistic with the Giants. I call it realistic. Everybody else calls it overly pessimistic. But the Yankees, it just... You expect the Yankees at some point, they're going to be the Yankees.
But see, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Aside from Brett Gardner, their offensive lineup has not had really any injuries to it. And they've lost three of their last four games while going 3-for-33 with runners in scoring position. That's .091.
But that's been a problem forever.
That is
hit
awful.
At all with runners in scoring
position. Teixeira's having yet another slow start, something that I've been hounding on him about for 2 years now.
Yeah,
Swisher's under .250. Grierson's under .250.
That's bad.
I mean, the only real offensive stars right now is the fact that Cano has waken up and he's over .300. And Jeter's hitting over .350.
Fountain of youth. By the way, I think Granderson spoiled us last year.
Oh, that was his career year.
He's coming back down.
That's his career year.
But I think, it's hard for me right now in the middle of May to say anything, but the Yankees are going to be the Yankees at some point. They'll come around. I believe that. Do you not?
It's really going to depend how these guys come back from injury. It's really going to depend on how Robertson pitches when he comes back from his oblique injury. It's really going to depend on, you know, how Gardner comes back because, you know, even though it's just his elbow, it's his lead elbow. And that's where you put a lot of the pressure when you're swinging the way he does when he because he's a slapper. He's not a power hitter. So when you're a slapper, you use the front forearm a lot.
So for me, the cup is half full. For Katie, we're waiting to fill it up.
I'm just at a point where it's like, you know, I'll give the Yankees credit. They're staying within decent contention. They're staying within 5 games with all these injuries. So I applaud them for that.
Speaking of injuries, by the way.
Go for it.
Kerry Collins. No, not Kerry Collins.
Wow.
Terry Collins.
About an awful quarterback, anyways.
Yeah. Terry Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I got that right, right?
The Mets,
Terry Collins did the absolute right thing to pull David right there.
Look,
say what you want about manlyhood. Right now, the Mets are in it. They're in it. They're contending. Okay? It's May. They're contending. Okay? A David Wright injury, they're not anymore. They're done. And we know that. Terry Collins knows what it's like to manage the Mets without David Wright. He did it last year. In September, when they face the Brewers again, they won't be.
I understand the thought process, but here's my thing. And this is something I like to think that Brian Noe stole from me, but it's whatever. Terry Collins made a relatively nothing situation that happens on a regular basis in Major League Baseball and turn it into this huge something that didn't have to be turned into.
Right,
because David Wright, I don't care what anyone says. I know he has a history of concussions with the helmet that he had to wear a while back.
Right, right,
where he looked like, you know, he had a ridiculously big head.
That looked absurd.
But the thing is, I don't think they were going to hit him anywhere where he would have a legitimately serious injury.
Right, but you know what? This is a fastball coming at him. If he moves a certain way, he does something. I mean, look, in all honesty, you're right. He was probably just going to take his medicine and go to first. But you're down 8-0. You're not. By the way, if your reason behind something is, we might come back from 8-0, just do the opposite, please. If it's like, well, my quarterback's getting trounced and it's 24-0, but we could recover 3 onside kicks with 2 minutes
left.
That's
a bad excuse.
So I'll leave it in.
That's a bad way to go.
Right. If you're thinking, well, we might come back from 8-0 down in the 7th inning on a Tuesday night game in the middle of May, just take him out. I understand he's probably not going to get hurt, but what's the Mets' future this season if he does?
Zero.
Nothing. All right. I want to thank Brian Cady for joining me today. We'll come back on the other side. We'll have a couple people coming in talking some soccer. Yeah!
Champions League, baby!
Woo! Go Chelsea. All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it,
no
man.
No problem.
Have a good one.